From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. One of the most personal and consequential benefits of postal employment is comprehensive health insurance. Employees and retirees tend to keep an eagle's eye on health premium fluctuations and benefit changes. The most significant change in postal health insurance, probably in a generation, will begin on January 1, 2025, the first day that the new Postal Service Health Benefits Program will be in effect. Today will be the first of two Nats Chat podcasts to deal with the inaugural open season of the Postal Service Health Benefits Program. Today we will speak with the USPS's expert on implementation of the new program, Carla Kirby, and she should be no stranger to postal supervisors, managers, and postmasters. She joined us before on Nats Chat. She's attended the NAPS National Convention, as well as NAPS state and local and branch conventions. Moreover, Carla has been working with all postal employee organizations relating to implementation of the Postal Service Health Benefits Program. She is the executive manager of the Postal Health Benefits Program. Carla has more than 20 years of government experience in human resources and benefits. In addition, Carla co-hosts the Postal Service's own podcast, Mailin' It. Thus, once again, we're fortunate to have Carla on Naps Chat. Welcome back to Naps Chat, Carla.
Thanks, Bob, for having me back. Glad to be here.
In the time you've spent preparing for this open season and for implementation of the Postal Service Health Benefits Plan, have you learned anything new about the insurance industry or FEHBP or what postal employees seek in health insurance?
I would say overall the past 2 years, being really engulfed in the PSHB implementation. It's just connecting with employees, connecting with annuitants, and understanding the different way that people digest information.
Now, as I said in my introduction, you have been attending an inordinate amount of meetings around the country with not only NAPS members, but with other postal employees. Is there a common theme to what they bring up at these meetings?
I think of course, curiosity is the reason for the change, which, of course, is based around the Postal Service Reform Act of 2022. And then just really an anxiousness about getting information on all the plans. As you know, recently, the rates were released and overall, lower than the FEHB counterparts. And then, of course, knowing what plans were going to be participating. So that was really the level of anxiousness that I really received from employees and annuitants. And that seems to be quelled as we're getting closer to open season.
Now, as we get closer to open season, were they going to be seeing what the benefit packages are, correct? Because the benefit packages have not been released yet.
The full plan descriptions we anticipate will be available right around the 1st of November, so that first week. And that will give employees and annuitants, 5 to 6 weeks still to review the information before open season closes on December 9th.
Now, just as sort of a preamble to everything, we're going to have Jay Fritz, who runs the open season for the Office of Personnel Management, subsequent to the release of the benefit plan descriptions that will come about around November 1st. So stay tuned for that. Let me ask you this question, Carl, and I'm going to come back. We've just finished a major portion of the implementation of the Postal Service Health Benefits Plan, and that is the special enrollment period for those who are Medicare eligible but had yet not elected to join Medicare Part B. Could you tell me how that special enrollment period ran?
Well, again, as you mentioned, it went from April 1st to September 30th. We had more than 39,000 annuitants that have registered thus far, with mail and being received by the Social Security Administration. We're still waiting for any runoff of any applications, but it went fairly well. We had a lot more than we anticipated to participate, but this was a good opportunity for annuitants to enroll in Medicare Part B, realizing that it can reduce, and in some cases eliminate some of your out-of-pocket costs that you were paying already for your healthcare expenses.
And there are benefits. Interestingly enough, there are side benefits to those who are not yet Medicare eligible because the integration of the Medicare with Postal Service Health Benefits Program plans result in reduced premiums for everyone within the Postal Service Health Benefits Program.
That is correct.
Do we know how many postal employees are remaining in the Postal Service Health Benefits Program who have not elected to go into Part B that are otherwise eligible?
Okay, so two different things. So keep in mind, Medicare Part B enrollment would only happen if you're a Medicare eligible annuitant.
Mm-hmm.
So we do not have all of the numbers. We're working very closely with OPM and SSA and, of course, CMS, and that's Social Security Administration and the Center for Medicaid and Medicaid Services to get those enrollment numbers. But we did bridge quite a bit of the gap during this SEP period.
Let me ask you this question. You, as you said, you have worked with other agencies for the implementation, particularly of the Medicare integration portion of the Postal Service Health Benefits Plan. Tell me how that collaboration went with Office of Personnel Management, as you said, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, Social Security Administration, folks may not know, the Veterans Affairs Administration, as well as Indian Health Services. How did all that collaboration go, and how did you guys work together?
Well, let's not forget the Department of Labor, because we do have a population on workman's comp. It went actually very well. We have been really meeting on a regular basis over the past 2 years since the passing of the legislation. And so some of the meetings got more frequent, and some of the meetings became less frequent based on their particular role in the implementation. I can say with OPM, SSA, and CMS, we still meet on a regular basis, and that can be 2 to 3 times a week just to make sure that we have everything covered with regard to the SEP. We didn't leave any annuitants behind that may have wanted to participate, and of course that we get all of the award letters and all the notifications out prior to the start of the new plan year.
One of the items that we discussed, and I know you talked about this at the NAPS National Convention, was even if you were unsure whether or not you wanted to join Part B, you should make that election, and then before a certain date, you could revoke that election. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. And so in the notification letter that went out to eligible annuitants and their covered dependents, individuals did have an opportunity to enroll and then rescind their enrollment in Medicare Part B up to December 31st. So that window is still there. So for individuals, once they view all of the plan information, once it becomes available, if they decide that Medicare Part B is not advantageous for them, they can rescind up to December 31st. Keep in mind, though, if they choose to rescind and then later want to enroll in Medicare Part B, then they would be responsible for not only the Medicare Part B premiums, but also any late enrollment penalties associated with that enrollment.
Let me go back a second. Your work with the Office of Personnel Management, since they will play a very important role in the implementation, since they're going to be running the open season. Could you talk with us a bit about the role of the Postal Service and the role of OPM as we have the first time open season for the Postal Service Health Benefits Program?
Sure. And want to make the distinction. So OPM, as our annuitants or retirees, depending on which term you use, know, OPM becomes their HR servicer once they retire. For employees, we at the agency, the Postal Service, still are their HR servicer. So while we're using a joint platform for the first time, the Postal Service Health Benefits System, each entity is still responsible for the enrollments of their particular groups.
But the running of the open season and the managing of the open season, who's responsible for that?
So the Postal Service is still managing the open season for Postal Service employees. Keep in mind, open season isn't just PSHB, although that is a very large part of what's happening. We have other benefits that happen at that same time. So as an agency, we're responsible for our 600,000 plus employees to make sure that they get the communications and information and they're aware of every benefit that's impacted during open season. But to your point, Bob, we are working very collaboratively with OPM to make sure all of our messaging around open season is consistent.
And folks should understand that the negotiations over benefits and premiums is still the responsibility of the Office of Personnel Management.
So again,
other than collective bargaining agreements, correct, that can control,
correct,
some premiums.
But keep in mind that the pricing, yes, has, and the contracts are overseen by OPM, but we are statutorily, we pay 72% of the weighted average unless there is a collective bargaining agreement that supersedes.
Are there any collective bargaining agreements right now that supersede the 72%?
I will have to defer to my labor colleagues, and they would be able to provide a more comprehensive answer. I don't want to give anything off the cuff on that one.
Now, as you referenced, this bill was signed into law around a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Do you wish you had more time before implementation?
Actually, you know, initially I was like, 2 years, oh, this will be easy. But I think maybe there are some processes in hindsight we may have started earlier, but I think it's been enough time. So, you know, people have heard about it for 2 years and they're kind of just ready for it to be here.
Get on with it already.
Right. Exactly.
Now, one of the items that Postal Service Health Benefits Program participants will note as compared to the previous year, premium increases across the board, though the premium increases for Postal Service Health Benefits Program plans, for the most part, are less than they would have received if they remained in FEHBP or as experienced by FEHBP participants. Could you talk a bit about those premium increases across the board? What accounts for them?
So, of course, inflation is one of the big things. And, of course, claims experience. What happened, fortunately, for most of our PSHB rates is there was, we'll say, quote unquote, a discount taken in or figured in to the actuarial cost about our annuitants that would be participating in Medicare Part B. So we were able to realize some savings through that. But overall, I think, you know, folks can take a look at the economy each year and see what is driving the cost of healthcare. Not only the just the increased cost to do business, but then, of course, claims also plays a factor.
I'm just going to think out of the box. Well, I don't think it's probably within the box. That is that during the pandemic, which we've emerged from last year, people are more apt to get elective procedures done right now that are covered by health insurance that were deferred for what either by themselves or by healthcare professionals. Do you suspect that deferred elective procedures or people sort of hesitant about seeking out medical care because of the pandemic could account for the increase in claims?
You know, we can speculate about anything. But what we do know is that we will continue to encourage employees and annuitants to do their preventative screenings, preventative care, so that, you know, anything that needs to be detected or can be detected early is done, so it does not become more burdensome on the back end. But, you know, it's hard to say whether or not people will start to take advantage. There's still a little bit of angst around, you know, COVID and potentially going back into a pandemic. So I think there's different schools of thought on that.
One of the items that I've noted is that the sheer magnitude of plans under FEHBP, there is still a large number of plans. There are a meaningful number less plans participating in the Postal Service Health Benefits Program. I would suspect that is particularly in the HMO area. Would that be accurate?
I think that's fairly accurate because you're looking at the smaller regional plans as opposed to larger national plans. But when you look at the total scope of plans that are available, also keep in mind where there might be, give or take, 200 plans in FEHB. Typically, in your geographic area, you may have anywhere between 20 and 30 plans. So there wasn't too much of an impact when you look at those lesser numbers outside of maybe some rural, more rural areas.
there are a large number of similarities between the FEHBP and the Postal Service Health Benefits Program. Most notably, the open season happens at the same time. Can you talk a little bit about equivalency of benefits between FEHBP and the Postal Service Health Benefits Program? Because this statute required, at least for the first year, that the benefits be equivalent.
Comparable. The word we use is comparable.
Comparable.
And keep in mind, the Postal Service Health Benefits Program is part of the FEHB program. So there aren't going to be but so many similarities as far as eligibility and comprehensive coverage that has to be provided. But when you throw in the mix of the Medicare integration, that could change plan designs over time. But again, that's on OPM to look and determine and work with the carriers if there is going to be any significant difference down the road.
The comparability, that's not into perpetuity.
No, you're right. The law says the initial year, but if you look at the FEHB handbook and what it requires as far as comprehensive coverage, it couldn't be stripped down to bare bones if that's the concern.
But for that first year, the benefits are required to be comparable.
That is correct.
But they could start going off into tangents, though not significant tangents, years down the road.
Right. But keep in mind that would likely also require the handbook to change, meaning the regulations around what FEHB provides.
Okay. Like co-payments could differ down the road. Deductibles could
differ down the road.
I mean the Postal Service Health Benefits Program as part of FEHBP could offer lower deductibles.
It could. And again, you know, plan designs each year are subject to change.
One of the confusing parts in this of FEHBP and the Postal Service Health Benefits Program, and this is something that I think started last year, or the prescription drug coverage and the employee group waiver program for Medicare recipients, that the Postal Service benefits by participation in a so-called egg whip. Could you talk about the confusion that some retirees are having over the Medicare Part D egg whip?
I think some of the confusion is for the 2024 plan year, annuitants could opt out of Part D coverage after they were auto-enrolled by their plan and still have prescription coverage through their plan. Under PSHB into 2025, OPM has proposed that the opt-out provision still be there. However, if you opt out, then you would forego your prescription coverage.
So do not opt out.
Yes, because it does not change your premium at all.
And the benefits are comparable.
And the benefits are comparable. And again, it like you said, it just when you look at the dollars and cents of it, it may not be feasible for 99.9% of the population to do so.
I just have to muse something out loud. The Postal Service, for the last number of years, has attempted to implement the Employee Group Waiver Program and the resultant cost savings and benefit enhancements to postal retirees. The OPM refused to permit the Postal Service to implement it, claiming that there was some statutory prohibition for them to do so. So what did we do in the 2022 Postal Reform Act? We got specific statutory authority for the Postal Service to implement the egg whip. What happened last year? The OPM, without any explicit statutory authority, sought to do and, in fact, implemented exactly what the Postal Service has been requesting for a number of years. How does that make you feel?
It's interesting. It's interesting. Like I said, but more so than anything, it did create some confusion because people assume that how it worked in 2024 was how it worked in 2025. But you never know. FEHB plans may go the egg whip route in the future.
FEHBP plans may go Medicare integration
in
somewhere
future.
In the future.
Right.
The Postal Service is a trailblazer in health benefits within the federal community, possibly.
We are definitely that.
So you're the you're the lead.
We're the pace car.
Right, exactly. I have one last question for you, Carla. As we move forward through this open season, there will continue to be questions by both active employees and by retirees about how the program works, what they ought to do. Who should they call? How do they engage with, whether it be the Postal Service or OPM? What do they do?
So it really depends on the question. So if you have questions, if your employees with questions about how the new PSHB works, absolutely give us a call here at the Postal Service. You can reach us at the PSHB helpline, which is 833-712-7742. Or for annuitants, they can reach out to OPM. So OPM is going to be launching, as part of open season, a new PSHB helpline where they will be able to field calls from annuitants. So that will be another resource. I'm sure when you talk with Jay next month, who we work very closely with from OPM, he'll be able to share that number.
Let me just double down on that. If you are an active postal employee, you should call the Postal Service.
Absolutely.
If you are a retired postal employee, you should call the Office of Personnel Management.
That is correct.
I just want to make that absolutely clear.
Now, if you happen to get through to us, we will still answer your question to the best of our ability, or
if you're a retiree,
or point you in the right direction.
Because that is that is going to be a major point of confusion, because people, particularly new retirees, are very comfortable talking with the folks they're used to dealing with.
Yes.
At the Postal Service. This might be a new experience, so you're the new experience of dealing with OPM compounded with the fact that there's a new plan being created can be problematic for them.
So, and again, that's one of the reasons we do not turn away any annuitant calls. We will field those calls. We will assist them to the best of our ability. But if it's something outside of our scope, we will have to transition them to an OPM counterpart.
Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
Please use all of the resources that we make available. So for employees, you know, myhr.usps.gov. For employees and annuitants, you can go to keepingposted.org. We have a wealth of information on both of those pages, to include the plan rates. Also, the plan crosswalk. We will have our consumer checkbook guide updated that first week of November, where you can go in and put in your zip code and get information on all the plans available in your area, as well as comparing plans. Also, be looking for information in the mail. There is the crosswalk letter that's going to be mailed out to all primary enrollees. It's going to tell you what your FEHB plan was, what is the most comparable plan that's been identified under PSHB. If you are in agreement with the plan that's been identified for you, you do not have to take any action whatsoever. You'll automatically be transitioned into that new plan. If when you get that crosswalk letter, you decide, you know what, I'm going to shop plans and I want to enroll in something else, you can do so during open season, which is going to be from November 11th through December 9th. So those are the things that I want to reiterate. Use the resources, be looking for the information in the mail, and make the decision that's most advantageous for you and your covered family members.
Let me reinforce something before we sign off on something you just said. Most people during an FEHBP open season do not elect to change their plans. They let it ride. If you let it ride as a postal employee or a postal retiree, you will automatically be enrolled in the comparable plan, or the analog that you would have been in an FEHBP, in the Postal Service Health Benefits Program.
That correct? Is correct.
So if you let it ride, you're basically going to have the same thing, sort of comparable, same thing you have.
Unless your plan didn't continue.
And that would probably be within an HMO.
Correct.
With that parting note, I want to thank Carla Kirby of the Postal Service for joining us on this week's NAPS Chat. Thanks, Carla.
Thanks, Bob, for having me.
And I would encourage everyone to listen to Carla's podcast called Mailin' It. There are some very interesting podcasts. The most recent one, I'm going to rename it Romancing the Post. So if you're interested in that, go log on to Mailin' It and listen to Carla and her colleague talking about romancing the post. And I want to thank NapsChat listeners for logging on. If you enjoy NapsChat, please leave us a positive review in the podcast store of your preference. And more importantly, share NapsChat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
And make believe.